Kentuckery. The Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you, thank you. And you know, if you're an angler, or as normal, I should say, a fisherman, this is the sweet of the year. I mean, the water's heating up, bass are on the beds, there's a few hatches there. I heard some Hendricksons were out.
How sweet it is.
So this is the time to go fishing. Get your chores done, Norm. Get lawn mowed, fix that roof. Get the garden in, yeah.
Right.
this is the time to do it. And there are only so many fishing seasons in a lifetime.
You bet.
So take advantage of it.
This is the best time of year right now. June is the
fishing
month, if you're a fly fisherman especially.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a good show lined up tonight. I'll introduce our special studio guests in a moment, but first the crew that make the show possible every week. The engineer behind the bulletproof glass there in Studio B, Mr. Norm Plord. Take a bow, Norm.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome on board. Be on board for... good show.
Yeah. And you are on your way to a Quebec fantasy fishing trip.
Yes, I am. Quebec, bright and early tomorrow morning.
Wow. And you got all your flies all picked out. Everything's all lined up.
Everything's lined up. All I do is put it in the truck and...
got the chili all made?
No chili.
No chili. Wow.
It might be chili.
Yeah.
I suspect it's going to be chili, though.
And with him is our other assistant engineer, Mr. Scotty Bates. Take a bow, Scotty.
Yes. Good evening, Paul. And I guess tonight I'm the water boy and the... plugger in it.
You did, but you did a good job plugging that plug in. We almost didn't get on the air.
Right, we found it, though.
Yeah, you'll get a bonus check in the mail for that.
Okay, right.
And we also want to say hi to Jim Layton, our esteemed chief engineer, who's at home tonight recovering, and we're glad to hear everything's going well. Jim, we miss you, and we hope you hurry back.
Yeah, he had an operation, and he's recovering very well,
doing
and
great,
I heard
yeah.
that tonight for the first time. And good luck, Jim. We'd all be praying for you.
You betcha.
Yes,
Our esteemed co-host, who's a registered master guide, tried to buy his shirt on the way in tonight. I love his shirt.
Well,
and he's an author of great fishing books, my friend Bob Lehman.
I appreciate it. And do you get a turkey?
No, I be honest with you, I didn't hunt that hard this year.
You didn't, no.
No, I just...
You didn't buy one either, probably.
No, I didn't.
No,
I never buy one. Right. I'd like to introduce our guest here, who's... kind enough to join us tonight. He is the executive director of the Katahdin Area Boy Scouts of America, and I'd like to welcome Scott Harvey.
Thank you. Good evening.
Nice to have you here, Scott.
Thank you.
And we're going to be talking about the Boy Scouts and some changes in the offing, and we welcome you to chime in if you've got a comment you'd like to make. And what is the number, Bob, if somebody would like to join our program?
Before I give the number, we have to introduce another guest we have in the studio tonight.
Who's that? Somebody I don't see?
Four-legged.
Yeah, right here on the floor.
Oh, this little schnauzer down here by
her.
Yeah, well, Precious is with us.
Yes.
We tried to get her on the air last week, but she refused
to talk.
She's
very quiet.
Yeah, she's a good girl.
She's a little sweetie.
She's a good girl.
The number to call, 1-800-966-1039. And if you live even close to Bangor or Brewer or Augusta or whatever, dial the whole number, even if you're local, 1-800-966-1039. And that's our call letters. That should be easy to remember.
And that's right. And you're listening to us on WVOM-FM, and you can hear us on 101.3 down in
Augusta.
Augusta, thank you. 103.9 in Bangor and 1450 AM in Rockland. Did I get that right?
You got it right on this.
Okay. Before we talk to our guest, we have an Outdoor Digest to deal with here. And this is brought to you by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. Is that Precious? She is talking. By the Northwoods Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications. Just want to alert you that the Fish and Wildlife Department has just put out applications for nominations for the Outdoor Achievement Award for the state of Maine. If you know some deserving outdoor person that you think is eligible and you'd like to nominate them, you can get an application online at the Maine Department of Fish and Wildlife. Also a good time of the year to talk a little bit quickly about boat safety. I want to remind you again that the water still can be cold this time of year. And we urge you to, if you take youngsters out, make sure they have their jackets on so they'll be legal. And if you're out yourself, it makes a good idea to wear a life jacket or at least have one close by. And also ATV safety. We remind you every time this year, everybody's getting busy with their ATVs. They had a bad fatality this week. Somebody, I don't know if they're driving too fast for conditions, but obviously something wrong, and two men killed on one of those double-seaters. So be careful with your ATVs. Drive safely and be good on the trail. I think it's time now for Bob's favorite music.
I'm a big boss fast, and you work for me. This is my rock.
All right. By the way, Bob, before you give you a fishing report, our trivia question tonight is right down your alley.
I saw that.
Oh, you saw that. Did you know the answer?
No, I didn't.
It's going to be a tough one. I'll be honest with you, folks. This is the first of the month, which means we give away a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal.
That's right.
Which we do just once a month now. And I warn you, this question is going to be a toughie.
Yeah.
But don't give any hints.
No.
So what's going on fishing-wise?
Well, first let me say a good friend of mine, David Kofis, who was at the Brewer Market, the market where they sell stuff
right.
on the weekends, Farmer's Market. He's there every weekend. He lives in Corinth, and he's quite a fisherman. He doesn't fly fish too much, but he likes to use worms and get his fingernails dirty.
Right.
He does that in the garden anyway, so that doesn't bother him too much. But he uses, Lewis, he went to the Allagash last week, and he gave me a little tip if I'm going up there, so I thought I'd tell it on the air. And that is, he has very good luck, and he did last week, using a Phoebe silver-colored lure. And he likes to troll it. And he caught some 18-inch brook trout on that. But one thing he wouldn't tell me was where.
They never do they?
They never do they? Yeah, I don't know if you've read the papers this past week, but there was a great article in there on the Greenland Straits and the Atlantic salmon.
Yeah, I read that. That's good
and,
news.
You did see that?
Yeah, I read the entire article. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a good report. Let's
it
talk
is.
About it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
There's going to be a 12-year memoriam on salmon netting in the Greenland Straits.
That's right.
And that will make a tremendous difference. The biologists, federal biologists, local biologists, all are cheering, you can imagine.
Yeah.
And salmon fishermen, too, should be cheering because it'll go back to what the salmon runs we had in the 70s and 80s in all of these main rivers and the Canadian rivers. And maybe even some of the other New England rivers will get a bigger run now. This is fantastic.
Well, we hope so, Bob.
Well, it should. It
one
might,
caveat.
It might be.
You know, they did this once before.
Yeah, but not long enough. 3 or 4 years, not long enough.
They did it, and they said the agreement was to let the fishermen do subsistence fishing, and then they misconstrued the meaning of subsistence fishing.
Yeah, well,
and it didn't work. But I'm positive. I mean, I hope this works.
Oh, I hope so. It's, 12 years memoriam is quite a long time.
And you know what the bottom line is. The Atlantic Salmon Federation bought out the fishermen, gave them $4 million to stop fishing for 12 years. That's basically what happened.
Yeah, well,
and it has potential. I agree.
Well, we'll see what happens. I look positive on this.
Yeah,
one.
I am too.
It's great.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
And
yeah.
if we get the runs we used to have in the 70s and 80s in the Penobscots, for instance, maybe the feds will take them off the endangered species list. Yeah. That would be something else.
Yeah, and I think you have to tip your hat to the Atlantic Salmon Federation for doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of fellows had to chip in a lot of money.
Yeah, you bet.
I know you gave them $5.
Oh, yeah. Well, I gave them six, actually.
All right.
No, before we close up, I want to say hello to a fellow you know and a fellow that I met years ago, and I just met him again for the first time after many, 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 many years. Is Ed Curtis, who runs a creative enterprises in Bangor, and he's a fisherman. We're going to go. Ed and I are going to go fishing, and Ed is a regular listener to the show.
Oh, great.
So that's why I'm saying hello.
Oh,
and
good.
Hello, Ed, and we'll go fishing soon. I'll give you a call.
All right, sounds good.
That wraps up my report for
tonight,
sir.
Okay, great report.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. All right, that ends Outdoor Digest, unless Norm has some comment on his plans to fish in Quebec. What are the big flies up there, by the way? What do you use?
Actually, most people are using spoons and crawlers and
what?
Phoebes.
And you go with those guys? You get your hands dirty, touch worms and everything?
Oh, if I have to, I do.
You don't fly fish up there?
Very little.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, just about everybody that I see up there, too, is very few people, actually.
Do your fellow members of the Penobscot Fly Fishers know this?
Not that I'm aware of. They might know now.
They probably know now, Right. Well, good luck to you.
Maybe that's why they catch so many fish.
Maybe, yeah. All right, that wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. Again, if you just joined us, you're on Maine Outdoors, and our guest is Scott Harvey, who's Executive Director of the Boy Scouts of America for the Katahdin Council. We'll be talking to Scott here in just a minute. But first, we have a trivia question, and again, this is not easy, and I'm going to ask Scott Harvey to read it. Did I give you a copy of that, Richard?
I'm sorry, you did not.
I think it's right on your format there. Didn't I give you?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to give it to you right now. It's that part right there.
Okay.
I'll give you the chance to look it over. We're going to have Scott read this question to you. If you get the right answer, we're going to make sure you get a subscription for a year to the Northwoods Sporting Journal, and it's worth $29.95. And again, it's not an easy question. If you think about it, though, you might be able to figure it out. I don't want to scare you to death. Scott, do you have the question, sir?
I do.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. There is one other fish besides trout and salmon and smelt that have an adipose fin. Name that fish.
All right. You think about that. 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back.
Not like this, no.
Oh. Boy, we're back already. That was a surprise. We were caught. All right, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we're looking for an answer to the trivia question. We were kind of stunned to find so many calls coming in, so maybe you're smarter than I thought you were out there. We thought it was going to be a tough question. Good evening. Welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Mike from Howland.
Hey, Mike. Are you there, Mike? Hi, Mike.
Oh, he was there.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. He's there.
Okay. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Now, you tried last week in vain, right? But tonight I know you're going to get the right answer.
Well, I'm looking at a chart, Maine's cold water game fish, and there's all kinds of fish out here with adipose fins.
Okay. in the salmon and trout family, but beyond that, there's one other that you might not expect.
Whitefish. Whitefish has an adipose fin.
Survey says incorrect.
Well, gee, I'm in a tough position here. You know, I get these questions and I go research them, but I spend all of about 2 minutes researching. Are you sure that a whitefish has an adipose fin?
I'm looking at it right on the chat.
You are. Did you know that, Bob?
No, I did not know that.
No.
all kinds of them that have it.
Yeah, I'll be darned. I think we should give it to you. I really do.
All right.
Don't you? Do
Absolutely.
You already have a subscription to the journal?
No, I haven't.
Would you like to have one?
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna give you credit for that because I did such a poor job researching. The research indicated to me that the only other fish besides the trout family was a catfish, and I was gonna just settle for that. But if a whitefish has an adipose fin, I think you deserve the prize. Okay. Fair enough. Are you still there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yep. You have won, to put it simply, all right?
Thank you.
All right. But if I find out when I go home and that the whitefish doesn't have an adipose fin, you're in big trouble.
Scratch me off your list.
No, all right. Anyway, good for you. If you hang on, Mike, we'll get your mailing address, and we'll make sure you get signed up.
Okay, thank you.
And I learned something tonight.
Greg Burr in here. He could answer that real quick.
Greg Burr would know. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to trust you on this, and good luck to you, and stay on the line, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Yep. See, Scott, we always learn something with this program.
Yeah, we do. Right?
Okay, it's not just and so Google is wrong, Bob. Well, Google is wrong. They said just a catfish.
It could be in the adipose. Not necessarily an adipose fin, but it's in the adipose area, which is actually a fin. It's got
maybe.
So,
Do you know the purpose of an adipose fin on a salmon or a trout?
No, as far as I know, it has no purpose. They even clip it a lot using.
They've researched it, but they theorize that it has something to do with the way they feel them. It's a sensory thing that helps them in flowing water.
Really,
it's a prelude to the caudal fin.
Yeah.
So it gives a little vibration or something. That's the theory. I don't know.
supposed anyway, to go to that. But anyway,
we
but
digress.
I would think that it it would they clip it, as I said, the fin clip.
Right, right.
When they're counting them and so on, and then they check them a year or two later, see how old they are, all that stuff. Why would they clip the adipose if it had something to do with the help? Would help the fish somehow? It doesn't make any sense that they'd do that. But well, there you are.
Yeah. I just, all I know is what I read.
I don't know. Yeah.
We'll find out. We'll talk to a fisheries biologist.
We'll talk to a biologist and see what's going on.
Okay, let's get down to business here. Again, Scott Harvey, who's the executive director of the Katahdin Area Council. Scott, nice to have you with us.
Pleasure to be
tonight.
Here.
And I have a little bio here, but would you just tell our listeners who may not know you a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm a new Mainer, been going into my fourth year up here in northern eastern Maine. Grew up in a scouting family. I had a father that was in scouting, served 43 years and working for the Boy Scouts of America. Also had an older brother. Ever since I was a sophomore in high school, this is the career that I wanted to go into. Reason being, I'm an Eagle Scout. When you're an Eagle Scout, you're charged to give back to scouting. I chose to make a career out of it. So
good for you. That's great.
It is.
The whole family of scouters.
So one time we were recognized by the Boy Scouts of America, three family members serving for the Boy Scouts of America at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Good for you. Just so you'll know, I never made it to Eagle. I was a life, and then I discovered girls. And then my son was an Eagle. My oldest son, Scott, is an Eagle, and did a great job with that. And I have some grandsons who are also in scouting, and it's a great program.
It is.
Okay, let's cut to the chase here and talk a little bit about, you've been in the news lately, as most folks who read know. I was kind of surprised to see it, and I really don't have a strong opinion either way. I know folks who do and folks who don't, but the Boy Scouts made an announcement about, was it 2 weeks ago maybe, or 3 weeks ago?
Probably about three now, yes.
Would you tell our listeners, just who may not have read it, what this change is and how it works?
Sure. If you've read in the news, the Boy Scouts of America have made the decision to allow girls into the program. It's a process that went through good probably 6 or 8 months as of last year. I can tell you in the Katahdin Area Council, back in April of last year, our executive board was looking into it. We know we've got females involved in scouting program. They're just not official members of the program. So our board wanted to make the pilot available to the national organization to allow girls into the scouting program. First week in May last year.
Yeah.
Boy Scouts of America called all the scout executives, CEOs, executive directors like myself, back to national to get our opinion. You know, what should we do about the conversation about allowing females into the scouting program? So with that, it was about 86% of all the scout executives across America said, let's take that conversation forward. Following that, a few weeks later at the annual meeting of the Boy Scouts of America, the national board members had a vote on that, and about 92-91% of those folks said, let's carry the conversation forward. During the summer of last year, came about that let's take the conversation to our local leaders, back in our local councils, and the majority of those folks said, yes, absolutely, let's make that keep the conversation going. Let's allow females, talk about getting females to be allowed to participate in scouting. So of October of last year, the decision came out that girls would be allowed to join the Cub Scout program. That's anywhere from ages 5 through 10. So that came out, and then shortly after that came out that girls 11 and older would be able to join what was known as the Boy Scout program. I say, well, what was known as the Boy Scout program? As you know, the Boy Scouts of America is going to be the Boy Scouts of America. That's going to be our overall organization. Cub Scouts, there's no connotation between boy and girl, so Cub Scouts. Which for the Boy Scout program, what that's going to be is the Scout BSA, your Scout. Not a Boy Scout, not a Girl Scout, but a Scout.
A Scout, yeah.
Right.
I'm just curious what led up to this. Was there a legal action taken by any girl? Has there been a real strong demand by females to get into Boy Scouts? How'd that happen?
Sure. It really came down to is for the fact that it wasn't forced upon us. It's not like you got to allow girls in. It just came about that, as I mentioned, in this day and age, Johnny goes off to the Cub Scout meeting. what do we do with Susie? Yeah, I don't know if you caught the back in February, one of the local national news stations did a piece during Scouting History Week, and they did it out in, I believe it was out in Oregon or Washington. They were just letting trying out, you know, the early program, if you will, for the Cub Scout program, where they interviewed the sister, little girl, just joining Cub Scouts, and the boy. So you see the girl there, and it's like, you know, well, the boy, they interviewed the boy. So it's like, you know, well, yeah, I guess they should let her in and everything. But, you know, I'm at these Cub Scout meetings, and, you know, my sister just sits in the car with mom. I guess she's kind of bored. So the little girl responds, well, you got that right, brother. So that's what it comes down to. Yeah. You know, even here, it's family just, you know, came down to the fact that people are looking for that one-stop shopping. You know, they want to be able to take their sons in the program and have the girls participate, you know, along as well. That's what it comes down to.
Okay. What's going to happen to the Girl Scout organizations?
Girl Scout organization is going to remain the same. That's just that we are two different programs. We will always be two different programs.
That was going to be my question.
Are the guys going to be allowed into the Girl Scout programs?
As far as I know, they will not be.
No. Yeah. So it's that way they don't have to sit in the car with their father while the girl is at the meeting?
Correct.
All right. Now, I'm supposed to do the interviewing here, engineer. But anyway, good question. That was you took the question right out of my mouth. But I'm more interested to follow through a little more on that. Did the Girl Scouts have any part of this conversation? Have they had conversations since with the leadership?
They might have.
You don't know.
I'm not at that level. Yeah. You know, that's all at the national level.
Yeah.
That all came about. Yeah.
You know, I was talking, Bob, I was talking to Diane, my wife, who was not in Girl Scouts, but my daughter was in the Girl Scouts, and Girl Scout leaders are going to get upset with me, but I'm just saying the truth.
Susie?
Yeah. But anyway, there's a feeling that the Girl Scouts would have done better if they'd had, you know, axes and jackknives and stuff like that. There are a lot of, it's the culture we're in, Scott, right now, where girls want to do some of the things guys are doing, and they get an enjoyment out of it. I mean, my wife loves to hunt, and a lot of women have taken up hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
So I guess it's part of the cultural change that we're in. And I know some folks who are my age, my generation, who, in fact, one of them was the governor, the conservative governor of Arkansas, who said he thought this was the end of scouting as he knew it. You don't feel that way at all.
No. I mean, we just had an event yesterday after at Camp Roosevelt, and it was a family event, so there was the young female siblings that were there as well, and, you know, they were of Cub Scout age, so I'm like, hey, you're going to join Cub Scouts in the fall? And mom's like, nope, she's going to join Girl Scouts. She hangs around with her brother at the Boy Scout level, but she wants to do girly stuff.
We're going to talk more with Scott. We're also going to talk with a lady who's heads up the Moose Lottery drawing over there in Skowhegan next week. We'll speak with her by phone right after the break. Stay with us.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, AM 1450 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
Okay, welcome back to Maine Outdoors. Our telephone guest we're unable to make contact. She may call in. Her name is Christina Cannon. She's the lady that heads up the Moose Lottery drawing next week down in Skowhegan.
That'd be interesting.
We want to give her an opportunity to just tell you about the exciting program.
Absolutely.
It's actually 3 days. They've got quite a hoedown there,
I should say.
Yeah, sounds exciting. So if she calls back, would you let us know?
I'll get her in as soon as she calls back.
All right, sounds good. When we left to take a commercial break, we were talking to Scott Harvey about the Girl Scout and the Girl Scout program. Excuse me. I wanted I learned things as I talk with you. I think there's a lot of, as there always is with these sort of changes, some misapprehensions or some misconceptions going on. One of the things we learned off air in talking with you, and I just learned this, and I've discussed this before with you, Bob and I were pursuing this, but you say that when the girls become part of the Boy Scout program, there will be separate troops. Explain that to
Correct.
Us, would you, Scott?
Yeah, it's like we are not going to be a co-ed program.
You're not?
No. What we are doing is inviting families to join scouting, and with that comes the way that the model that's being rolled out is that the sponsoring organizations, your churches, service groups, you know, service clubs, etc. They will be making a sponsor the PACs. What they will be doing is they'll be deciding, hey, how do we want this to work? Do we want it to be an all-boy Packer troop, or do we want it to be an all-girl Packer troop, or in the case of Cub Scouts, do we want to have it a family pack? Okay, so
okay.
But the thing of it, in the case of the pack, you will have, you know, all boy dens, all girl dens. Okay, Boy Scout troop, the model is going to be that, hey, you're an all female troop or you're an all Boy Scout troop. That's what the model is.
That is the model.
That is the model.
Okay, so it's sort of, it's evolving.
Correct.
I get that impression.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I was talking that during one of the breaks here that I was in scouting, and the thing that really kept me in scouting and really attracted me, Bob, was the campouts. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't, when I was that age, I didn't know anything about character development. I didn't know anything about leadership. I just knew, man, I love to camp out.
Right.
I mean, it's my thing. And that's what, I had a great scout leader who was good at campouts. And we did, you know, summer campouts, fall campouts, winter campouts. And I just look back and I have the most fantastic memories of what a great time I had and how much I admired that scout leader.
Right.
So I think if it hadn't been for those campouts, I'm not sure I would have stayed with it.
I know. Well, there's a lot more than campouts, you know. There's how to play a harmonica. There's how to how to use a scout knife.
Correct.
And how to carry it around and use it to whittling and so on. And we did whittling when I was in scouts years ago.
Sure.
And, of course, how to build a fire. That's,
right.
That's big.
Right.
And tie in knots. And that's one that lasts you for your whole life.
Right.
And today, a lot of these kids, you know, they don't know how to tie a
square knot?
Well, a square knot.
A bowline.
A bowline and the surgeon's knot and on.
I taught Norm how to tie a bowline. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the whole beauty about the Boy Scout program. It's, you know, been pretty much the same for 108 years.
Yeah.
So the same code of, code of honor that we have with the Scout Oath and the Scout Law.
And why shouldn't a girl learn how to make a fire in the outdoors?
Sure.
And that's,
you know, or how to use an axe safely.
Or tie a knot, for heaven's
sake. Or tie a bunch of knots. Yeah, I think it's great.
And that's what the scouting program's all about. It's all about that character development, and it's all about the leadership training. The outdoors is our classroom.
You know,
these kids are having a great time when they're getting the leadership roles of the patrol leader or what have you. They're getting leadership skills that they don't even know they're developing until, hey, you know, years beyond scouting.
So the Girl Scouts,
how to clean a fish, how to cook a
absolutely.
Fish.
Absolutely.
The Girl Scouts weren't doing any of this on their own as far as teaching the girls to camp.
I do not know that.
I asked him that question during the break, we don't know. Maybe if there's a Girl Scout rep listening who want to tell us. I don't know what goes on in Girl Scouting. I just know people I've talked with way back said it wasn't as much fun as Boy Scouts because they didn't, you know, do a lot of the outdoor stuff. But maybe, perhaps they do. If we stand corrected, that'd be great. So anyway, that's interesting, and now one of the things I don't want to be a skunk at a lawn party, but I like to get the facts out. When you guys made the announcement, there was a stunning blow, really, to your membership roles. The Mormon Church announced that it was bolting.
Right.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's not. I can't speak on behalf of the church, but what's coming about is they're growing as a worldwide organization, and with that, they're developing their own program. So what they've decided to do is no longer sponsor local PACs and troops. They're a heavy supporter. They've been a great supporter of scouting throughout the years. But by the same token too, it's not like, hey, you're a member of the church, you know, young man, you can't be a member anymore. We're certainly opening up the doors to, you know, those youth that may not be sponsored by the LDS churches, but they can join another troop in their neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if some young boy in Salt Lake or young girl wants to join scouting, they can still do so.
Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't understand that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. They're just not sponsoring.
Correct.
The organization.
And that, for us here, it's about 75 kids and probably about 7 or 8 units that
Okay.
Access by.
Yeah. I'm going to take a short break here, Scott, to make a buck, okay?
You got it.
And I want to troll for calls. If you have there must be people out there who are former scouts like Bob and myself. If you have a comment or a question, or if you have a different opinion about this, we welcome your calls. And what's the number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039.
And give us a call and chime in. We'd like to hear from you. And if you're a fisheries biologist and you know anything about adipose fins, we want to know what that thing is good for.
Yeah.
All right. And I have another surprise announcement for you, Norm. In this stack of paper where I'm supposed to have the commercial, I don't have it. So did somebody let me down here, or did I let myself down?
We don't need it.
We don't need it. Bob Lehman knows how to wing it.
That's right.
Our program is sponsored in part each week by who?
Central, say it. You know what, a General Appliance and Brewer.
Very
on
good.
On Center Street in Bangor. Easy to get there, across the bridge, and into Brewer from Bangor.
And why would I want to patronize them?
Well, because they have all these, you know what they sell over there. What do they sell primarily?
Appliances.
Right, but what's their main appliance they like to sell?
Gas and electric.
That's right. Well, gas mostly, right?
Gas mostly,
and they also have compost
toilets. Thank you. Yeah, compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby. Yeah. Right, yeah.
And Al Elkins, the operator over there, he's a great guy to do business with.
He certainly is.
Now, does he stand behind his products?
You bet he does. And he also repairs his products and other products. Just give him a call. Be glad to come over and take a look at your unit, any unit. If you bought it there, if you didn't buy it there, give him a call. They'll fix it. They got all kinds of parts.
All right. Now,
and you got parts from them for your you have for the gas stuff.
Gas refrigerator up in camp.
Filled, name brand Sevel is one.
And if I'm 90 miles back in the woods, will Al come in and fix that smoking propane?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. There is certainly
no. I won't.
You
he won't.
You tell him
he won't do that.
I've asked. Tell him what the trouble is, and he'll troubleshoot it for you.
He wouldn't come too far. He said,
"Well, don't matter. He'll tell you how to fix it, though."
Well, I went down to see him, and he fixed me up.
You bet.
Good man.
All right.
All right. What's the telephone number there, Bob?
I don't know. What is it?
989-3714.
You know it. Okay. You've been saying that for years, huh?
Right.
That's our only sponsor.
Yeah. Well, he's one of our many sponsors.
One of our sponsors that's been with us all
for many years.
But almost 20 years.
Yeah. So check him out, General Appliance and Brewer, the place to go for all of your appliance needs. Right, Norm?
Right. You guys did that really well.
Thank you. And we winged that without the commercial. We should throw the commercial away. All right. Okay, and we patronize them, and we urge you to do so as well. Okay, again, if you'd like to call 1-800-966-1039, our guest tonight is Scott Harvey. Scott is Executive Director of the Katahdin Council of the Boy Scouts of America, and we're talking about the evolution of the Boy Scouts and some of the changes that are taking place. And if you have an opinion one way or the other or a question, we welcome your calls. When you were in scouting, you made it to Eagle, right?
I did.
Yeah. Was it a hard slog for you to get to Eagle?
It was. It's a challenge, as any Eagle Scout will tell you. You got to realize it's roughly now about 5% of every scout that joins scouting will ever attain the rank of Eagle. And that's not necessarily something we should judge the program by, as how many Eagle Scouts we get.
Say that again. I missed that. What percent?
5%.
Only 5%?
Only 5%.
No kidding.
Yes. Yeah.
I figured it'd be higher than that.
Right. That's 5%. Just it. And that's why, the prestige behind the Eagle Scout Award is there. Everybody knows what it takes to become an Eagle Scout, the time and effort that you put in there. And so, yeah.
Well, do me a favor.
We got somebody with an answer for the adipose fin.
Oh, okay. Let's take an adipose fin break, Scott.
Bob's there.
Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Hello. Hi. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great. We're doing great. How about yourself?
Just fine, thanks. Okay. Two points I have. The gentleman earlier who called about the adipose fin on the whitefish. The lake whitefish is a cousin of the salmonoid. And that's why it has.
I knew there had to be an answer. Yeah, sure. Makes sense. I didn't know that.
You were both right, because you said what kind of fish outside the salmon and trout family. And
yeah.
No, most people don't think of the whitefish.
Are you a biologist?
No. I just hang around Grand Lake Stream sometimes and watch people fish.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Well, we appreciate and the rest of those characters and the Woolly Bugger crew.
So you think we did the right thing giving him the prize, right?
Yes, and the reason for adipose fin also is just to stabilize the fish while swimming. That's why they can clip them off and stuff.
You were right there, Paul.
So I was right again.
You're right again.
See, I read. I mean, I know about this stuff, Bob.
Yeah, right.
All right. Appreciate it. What's your first name?
My name is Bob.
Where'd you calling from, Bob?
I'm calling from Addison, Maine.
Addison, Maine. All right. Down there.
Bob, what do you know about the salters down there?
I know they're hard to catch. You can't find them too much. When you do, it's nice, but it's,
Right.
Touch and go.
You got it. Okay.
All right.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Bob.
Good night, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, good night.
All right. That's interesting. That's great.
I didn't know
whitefish was part of a salmonid family.
You did well.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Right. Now, if you had all that knowledge about the mail cutter.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was a funny night.
The snake, yeah. Well, my train of thought here was taken back by the digression. What were we talking about, Scott? You remember?
Yeah.
We were on a roll there.
Talking about me being an Eagle Scout and...
Oh, yeah, making Eagle. Only 5% make Eagle.
Only 5%.
Yeah, 25%. That must explain maybe why Bob and I never made Eagle.
You bet.
And you probably can remember what you missed by not becoming Eagle.
Let me ask you this. Now, this is maybe a controversial, I don't know, not controversial, but I guess I'm asking you, don't water down the Eagle Scout requirements to please the girls. The guy on... that I mentioned that was on the Fox News the other night when they interviewed him about, he was an Eagle Scout, and he used the term in this culture we have, what do you call it, the safe space culture,
mm-hmm.
where we give every kid in school a trophy,
right.
we want everybody to win,
right. Yeah.
And he prayed that that wouldn't happen to scouting.
Yeah. I don't see
just
that
because
happening.
Because girls
yeah.
are,
yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to do that.
No, because I mean, even if you take some of our merit badges, like the physical fitness merit badge.
Right.
It's not so much about, hey, you've got to do this many. It's about improving yourself. So that's what it comes down
okay.
to. But yeah, we won't be watering down any
of that. So the girls to become, maybe you don't know the answer to this yet,
yeah.
but to become an Eagle Scout, a girl's going to have to work as hard as a guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You promised me?
Yes, sir. Scout's right. honor.
Okay, Scout's honor. That's
but
good.
There is such a thing as adipose question.
Let me say this first. There is such a thing as some of these outfits, like the Army, for instance. Some of the boys help the girls rather than do their job, and it does happen. No question about it. And it probably will happen here. We don't know that, but I'm just saying it could.
Now, wait a minute here. Now, you're not being chauvinistic, are you?
Not at all. I hope not.
You're saying the guys help the girls get through?
No, I'm saying that, for instance, they help. Yeah, well, you could say that. They help them. They're more apt to be careful of watching out for the girls.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's what teamwork's about.
There's nothing wrong with it, no.
Yeah.
But that helps keeps them from doing their 100% job.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening.
Oh.
No.
Well, I tell you what they say. Yeah.
You're going to get some female game wardens and law enforcement people call in on that one. That ought to trigger the calls. Yeah,
yeah we do camp out at the Blackwoods every fall, every November.
I'm just
and
throwing the facts
sure,
out
sure,
there.
Yep,
that's all. That's on
there's Girl Scouts that come out, and we do the orienteering course, and they beat the guy. So, yeah, no, there's some.
My daughter, my granddaughter, Dana. Can arm wrestle me down.
Yeah.
She's
and
15
Laura,
years old.
How about Laura there? She's pretty
yeah,
rugged,
you
too.
Bet.
You know Laura?
Oh, yeah. Iotto, she's my granddaughter, yeah.
Well, just said, granddaughter Laura.
Yeah. She's strong, too.
She's strong, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We got an adipose question.
Another adipose question? What is all this digression stuff? Okay, good evening, caller, with your adipose question. Make it quick. Go ahead.
Okay, what about the Arctic char?
That's part of the salmonid family.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, salmon, any fish cool. in the salmonid family. It could be a brown trout, you know, a salmon, a trout, a char. Yeah, they're all part of the same group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good point.
All right, I'll get off the phone then.
Well, you don't have to run away, and I didn't mean to rush you. I'm sorry. Did you have any other comments you want to make?
Not really. The only thing that really strikes me as weird is, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but is Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, well... I've been married and raised a family, and I know the difference between a boy and a girl. And it just says it in its name. You know, if they wanted to be more like the boys, why didn't they alter their programs to include, like, knot tying and whittling and, you know, other more outdoor activities?
Well, you may find that they begin to change their curriculum after this. I don't know. Good point. All right. Appreciate the call.
Thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Thank you. Now, Norm, you're being very outgoing tonight. You're looking for that extra talent fee that you get.
Well, I'm not going to be here next Sunday, so I figured I'd...
Oh, you want to leave your mark?
Try to leave my mark before I get on the road.
You had a comment for Scott, right? Jumbled in there?
No, I made a number of comments.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with what this guy just said as far as it's, you know... They didn't take the opportunity, apparently, over the years to alter their program to incorporate things that girls should have been telling their leaders that they were interested in.
Yeah, you may be right. They may not have been evolving. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm sure we'll probably get a call from a Girl Scout leader before the show is over. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to Eagle Scout, that's interesting. And And I have a hard time. I do have a hard time with the culture where everybody gets a trophy. Everybody wins.
No question.
I have a great trophy. You know, God bless the Boy Scouts, whether the Girl Scouts are there or not. I mean, girls, I hope you don't water down your program.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening.
Yes. No, I mean, it even comes to the case, if we have some physically challenged boys or something like that.
Yeah.
They may not be able to do everything, but sure. We come up with an alternative for them to, you know, help them beat whatever they can do.
Well, that's wonderful.
So that's what it comes down to. But it's not like, hey, just great. Because.
And you're keeping your BSA logo.
Yes.
Well, you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yep. But again, we're the Boy Scouts, the organizations, the Boy Scouts of America. Cub Scouts are Cub Scouts because there's no boy attached to it. So we're just going to say Scouts BSA for the I'm a Scout.
But now.
That Boy Scout age level, I'm a Scout. Yes.
Is your dad was a Scout executive like you
correct.
Are?
Yes.
Is he still living?
He still is. Yep. Yeah. He served 43 years working for the Boy Scouts of America.
At the risk of being too prying,
sure.
Have you talked to your dad? Now, he's probably a guy almost old as I am, right?
He's up there. I'm not sure how old you are, but yes, he's up there.
Probably as old as I am.
Right.
Has he commented on this?
It goes varies across the spectrum. Guess he could see it coming as well. A number of us could see it coming. Surprised that it's here, but you know, I think it's a step in the right direction.
So he agrees. He sees it.
Right.
Yeah. Good. So anyway, if a girl is interested in joining the Scouts, officially becoming Boy Scout, she can do so starting next February.
We got the Cub Scouts ages 5 through 10. They'll be able to join this fall once we start doing our school roundups and everything, so families can come out and sign up at that time. Scouting pretty much operates on the school year, so they'll be Cub Scout age. Younger folks will be able to join in September this fall, and then the girls are 11 through 18 will be able to join in February of next year.
Okay, so. The recommended procedure or the flow, whatever you want to call it, would be for a girl to be a Cub Scout.
Correct.
And then work her way up into Boy Scouting. Right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And you don't have any feel for is it going to be an outpouring, you think?
It's tough to say. It's like I said, we have these big events. Last fall, at Camp Roosevelt, have an event that's probably the best weekend in camp that we have at Camp Roosevelt called Spooktacular in October. We turn the camp pretty much into a Halloween-themed haunted house in our old dining hall. And we bring about 400 people there, 400 family members, mothers, daughters are out there. So last fall was a conversation with some of them. Hey, you going to join Cub Scouts? Yeah, I can't wait. You have a conversation. Nope, I'm a Girl Scout. I'm happy there, and that's great. That's all we care about is, hey, you've got kids involved in some program. They're not doing the electronic games or most kids get into trouble because they have nothing to do. Scouting, whether it be Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, we offer the kids something to do. So
yeah. One of the things I hear younger parents, I'm not a parent, I'm an old granddad, but younger parents are observing that there's so many activities today in schools and travel sports. Kids now 10 years old are traveling for a baseball game down in Stoneham, Mass. I mean, some of the parents begin to realize, I think my kids are in too many things. It's so busy, there's no time for the things like you and I enjoy.
My great-grandkids are in hockey. In baseball, and what else is there?
Well, it goes on and on.
It goes on and on.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Is that track. Has that affected your
absolutely? Yeah. Membership? I mean, that's just that there's so much for kids to do these days.
Yeah.
Soccer, football, lacrosse, hockey. There's just so much to do. The good thing about scouting is that it kind of accommodates that, especially when you got some of your older boys, in high school playing sports. Most of the unit leaders will say, hey, do your thing, do your swimming, come back when you got more time, afterwards. I played baseball and soccer when I was, in scouting as well. And, I think one of the challenges is, remember, scouting is just that great program. It's about developing character, lifelong skills, leadership skills. Having your kids involved in sports is great, but where's that character building and the leadership that scouting provides? I had the one time I served in the White Plains, New York area, working for the Boy Scouts down that way. That was during the 9/11 tragedy that happened. One of our board members said, hey, who's that kid, who's that kind of citizen that you want? Do you want that high school football captain, or do you want the Boy Scouts that's got the first aid skills and all that kind of thing? So that's just what it comes down to.
You know? Yeah. At the risk of being too emotional here, I can't tell you enough about what scouting meant to me. As a young man, it built, I don't know, it sort of built my self-confidence in a lot of areas. And I feel badly when I see young people, some of my own grandchildren, who have absolutely no interest in scouting. And I lament that because it was such a wonderful experience for me.
Right.
I guess I'd like to give you the opportunity in the short time left to tell our listeners who may not be too well informed about scouting, what's a good reason for a parent to encourage his son or daughter to get into scouting?
Well, you know, starting with the Cub Scout program, that's more family-oriented. You know, get involved the parents, and we, you know, all of scout leaders made up of adult volunteers. When you got, you know, 5 years old, 6 years old, think about it. You got that son and soon to be daughter. You got them for 11 more years before they're out of the house, going on to college and the service or what have you. So that's quality program. You know, great activities that you can do. Quality time that you have with your son or daughter at that time. And then as it relates to the Boy Scouts, again, it's all that character building, leadership skills that they don't even know they're getting, but they're having a great time learning. You know, going to camp and everything, and develop them to be leaders. And the beauty of it is you know, it's a boy-led program. So with the Scoutmaster's kind of really that advisor role, he'll let the kids, you know, make that mistake. You forgot to bring matches for the campfire. What are you going to do?
Okay. Hey, good luck.
I guess we're going to have cold, canned ravioli. So that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Kids are allowed to make the mistakes.
Sure.
They learn from it. Hey.
Yeah.
You could probably learn how to make a fire.
Absolutely. Yeah. We still do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everybody thinks about. You know, scouting's not about building that better camp, you know, a bigger campfire, better campfire. It's all about the leadership skill.
I mean, with no matches and no flint.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing. I love to build fires. You know, that was just it. Yeah.
When I was a scout, I don't know where you went, Bob, but one of our favorite hikes was up to Ducktail Pond. You know where that is?
No,
down off the airline, back of Chick Hill.
That's quite a trek out there.
Well, it's a short hike. It's not long. Do they still allow, I don't know what you'd call it, like wild card campouts where it's not totally organized? You get the scout leaders, but they can take you to a place that's not a designated campsite. I mean, do you have winter campouts?
Oh, sure.
Like spring campouts?
Yep, absolutely. And it comes up to the different, you know, individual troops, you know, and their leadership and what they want to do. Again, you know, ideally, it's a scout. Boy Scouts is a scout-led organization. So they have, you know, patrol leaders that lead their different patrols. They come together with a patrol leader council, if you will. And it's like, okay, here's what we want to do. They do that, and then they work with the adult leadership. Here's what we need to do. So if it's a trip up to the Allagash, a lot of our units will take part in. You know, they'll organize that, but we do a lot of units will camp out in the winter.
Canoeing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure having you with us, and good luck in the scouting program.
Appreciate that.
And with all the changes that are taking place.
You got it.
And do you have a website? If somebody's listening, they want to check you out?
We do. We have the Katahdin area. I didn't write that down. If you Google Katahdin Area Council, Boy Scouts of America, you'll find us there. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Nice to have you with us,
Scott.
Likewise.
Thank you.
And next week, our guest is going to be a guy who's going to tell you how to make pemmican.
That'd be interesting.
And if you don't know what that is, stay tuned next week and you'll find out.
I've heard of it.
And we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.